Barbara, thank you very much indeed. Could I ask anyone who can't see, I can help you to see what I'm doing, because it's very interactive this morning. And I've got my helper here, getting something ready. Thank you very much. Great. Do you want to hold it there? It's a very great help. Thank you very much. Well, we're looking these weeks at different commandments, and the commandments on the notice sheet today: you shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God. The Lord will not hold anyone guiltless who misuses his name. Taking it in vain, misusing it, not giving the right weight to it, the weight which is due. So a prayer, we might understand something, all of however small or old we are. Lord, speak to us. Help us to see you as you are. And help us, because of your great love and rescue, to live in obedience to you. Amen.
Amen.
Well, did you notice in that reading which Barbara read to us, it talks first of all about the great power of the tongue. So I've drawn a picture of John Drake when he's younger. As you can see, the tongue, a very large tongue, the normal rather untidy hat, but there he is, this person who has an extremely large tongue. I want to tell you, boys and girls, adults, about the great power of the tongue. And because of the great power of the tongue, don't underestimate it. Don't underestimate it. Now, I'm going to have my friend... I've actually renamed Andy with a new name, but I'll see if you can guess it in a minute. Andy, just could you bring out this rudder for me here? There's Lily Snell here. Lily, can you come help me as a cox? Can you come help me? Because I know that you've won some races when my Tom and Eleanor Blois Brook have been rowing in the regatta. And Eleanor and Tom a bit heavier, but Lily's a perfect weight to be a cox because she's a nice lightweight. The boat goes even faster. Now, where do you put a rudder on a boat? What's it clipped onto? Yes? On the back, the proper name is? Not the bow, no. Stern. Well, sometimes transom isn't his word used. Isn't that right? Well, I think we'll call Andy today, we'll call him stern, okay? Stern or transom. And now, let's get this organised, because... You just hold it there, Andy. Lily, just show us how you might be doing it. And you'd normally be sitting, I know, but just come further forward. So you show how it works. And if you notice, as she pulls on the port, that's left, or the starboard, the right, this will rotate in the water and direct the boat to nudge towards victory, we hope, next summer. Again. So here is the rudder. That's brilliant. Thank you very much, Lily. Sit down. Thank you very much, Stern. The cox controls the rudder. And the cox can direct the boat best course to the finishing line. A small dinghy in a race at the Wargraven Ship Lake is controlled by a rudder. Well, think of a great ocean liner going to New York. Again, the rudder is very small in comparison to the size of the boat, but it can turn a boat around. I was reading this last week about the Bismarck, which is a big German battleship. It was sunk in 1942. Very sadly, it knocked out one of the British really good boats, HMS Hood, and the Bismarck boat, ship, warship, had a crew of 2,200, a massive boat, like a big school, a very big school. All the crew there, there are chefs, there are people who ran the guns, those in the radars, those in the navigation, 2,200. And they did a lot of destruction in that boat. It was a great nuisance to the British government and the Royal Navy in all they were doing. And for 2 days, the Royal Navy and the RAF pursued the Bismarck, and it took them that long to begin to slow it down. And how they slowed it down was they used torpedoes launched from aircraft, and it took them a while, and then eventually they hit the rudder and the steering gear, and the Bismarck started going round and round in circles. And it was very sadly sunk, and the Germans pretended that there were their submarines moving in, and in fact the British were only able to rescue 110 of the crew, because they then moved away because they thought their own lives were under threat. But think about it, that rudder, that big German warship, so powerful, like the rudder on a dinghy. It reminds us about the power of something small. And James, the Lord's brother, says, don't underestimate the power of the tongue. He likens it to a rudder. Listen carefully. Or take ships, for an example. Although they are so large and driven by strong winds, they are steered by a very small rudder wherever the pilot wants to go. How heavy is your tongue? How big is it? So ask people, not John Drake, that'd be so easy to guess. How big is your tongue? If you doctors around the congregation, do you know the weight of your tongue? It's light. Somebody here thinks it's light. The tongue is 0.4% of 1% of your body. 0.41% of your body weight. And yet we know our tongues can direct all sorts of things. And James says, don't underestimate the power of your tongue. And that's why God says, don't misuse the name of your Lord, the Lord your God. Now, I don't know about you, but I love fires. Who likes fires here? I've been thinking it's great fun to have a fire in church. I brought some straw. If Christine Walker's around, because we cover her eyes, I thought what we might do is I got some nice straw from the chickens. Shall I light it? Let's have a fire, shall we? Yes. Okay.
John, don't do it! Don't do it! Stop! We haven't had a fire in church since 1916. And you know what happened then? The roof went, everything. Stop!
Oh dear. Oh dear, I was looking forward to that fire. It would be so exciting. I love bonfires. Do you imagine a small spark in straw burns it all up? Massive fire. Listen to James. Likewise, he says, the tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boasts. Consider what a great forest is set on fire by a small spark. Can I tell you what I discovered in my just over 50 years? Do you know some sins in life and temptations disappear a bit with age? But there's one which I think can get worse and worse. And Andy's a young man, so it doesn't really count for him, but can you imagine? Andy, come and stand here. Just close your eyes, can you?
Oh! 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 What happened there?
Right, I'll stop there. Oh, thank you very much. It is amazing, isn't it, what can spill out, not just of water glasses, but can spill out from us. There's something goes wrong, there's a hassle, all sorts of nasty things come out of his mouth. I was on an underground a while back. There's a man who's runs across things, a mission agency, and he spent some years as an officer in the Royal Tank Regiment. He's now a Church of England clergyman, and somebody's briefcase opened just through where you put your Oyster card, and the language, I can't tell you girls and boys, adults, how disgusting it was. Not just the name of God used and Christ, but but countless other things, which were using nasty words about some of God's good gifts in like sex and marriage. It was disgusting to hear. Just because a briefcase had fallen open. But you know, when things happen at school, in the workplace, when there's some awful lady, male driver, in front of you, whoever it might be, what comes out of your mouth? You see, bad things can come out of our mouth, and I go into the schools here, in Wargrave, elsewhere, and in the playground, and elsewhere in the classrooms, I've sometimes heard some really nasty words, or words used in a nasty way. Oh God! Oh Christ! Oh Jesus! Nasty words used of the one who we are to give due weight to. Don't take the Lord of your God's name in vain. Don't misuse it. I wonder, are we careful about our words? Words can be used in a nasty, bad way. Who has been to St. Paul's Cathedral? Anybody been to St. Paul's Cathedral? I've been there. I've actually preached there a couple of times. It's very, the pulpit's very low because the diet's improved over the years, so everybody's a bit bigger. So it's always a bit lower when you put your notes down there in your Bible, but it's you have to put your glasses on properly to see what you're going to say in your talk. But up in the dome of St. Paul's, there's a round area called, yeah, whispering. And do you know what happens with whispering? Whispering can be heard right across there. Brilliant how it's done. A whispering gallery. And what do we whisper at home? What do we whisper at school? Do we use that in a bad way ever? Often we use words in a very unthankful way. We grumble, oh mum, it's not porridge again, is it? Porridge for breakfast again, and it's cold again. Or we grumble that it's the same lunch. We grumble about our clothes or our pocket money. And the adults grumble as well. And then we make nasty jokes at people's expense sometimes. There is a right sense of teasing, but sometimes what we say is pretty nasty to adults. It can be pretty nasty when we're young as well. There are nice things we can say, good things. It's good to say sorry to God, as we did this morning at start. Lord, sorry I've forgotten you, gone away from you. We can encourage people at school and at church. We can direct people, help them if they're lost. We can show them the way. Words can be used for bad, but also for good. Words can be directed to God in the right way and the wrong way. Now, I've got here this drawing, this quick sketch, and here's somebody with a big tongue, and unless we have some terrible disease, everybody here will have a tongue in church. And the tongue is so important because it shows what's going on elsewhere. Now, I want one slightly older person, somebody who's over seven here. Seven? You need to be very careful. There's a string here and it's connected here to this picture of the big tongue sticking out. Could you just pull that string from here? Go very gently. When you get to the end, can you bring what you find back to me? So follow along. You probably need to get this from you. And while you're going to look at that, I'm going to read some words of Jesus. He says this, out of the overflow of a person's heart, their mouth or their tongue speaks. That's Luke 6, verse 45. Out of the overflow of somebody's mouth, their tongue speaks. Now, have you got the... Oh, can you bring what's there? It's very important. Oh, right. Thank you, Raj. Still going round. Keep on going. Mind people's toes, please. Ah, brilliant. That's very good. Thank you. Now, if we just turn this round, because here is my person with their tongue, which can be used for good or bad, but let's just put something else round this side. Because here, if you can just let go, you can go sit down now, that's very good, thank you. There is, let me tell you what that is there. What's it meant to be? Yes. Gone shy heart, thank you very much. It's a heart. And as Jesus says, What comes out of our tongue on the other side of that poster reflects what's in our heart, our inner being. And the end of that reading Barbara read talked about a spring of water. Can you remember what types of water was coming out of that spring? Salt and fresh. It's a funny picture, salt and fresh water coming out. And the point is that James said it shouldn't be so that out of your off your tongue, from your heart, out of your mouth comes nasty things and good things, kind things and unkind things. Things that are true about God and things which are careless and nasty about God. And some of us, our hearts have never been sorted out. And just as our tongue betrays our nationality. If I'm speaking French, what country do I come from? France or Belgium, or a bit of West Africa where they speak France, possibly. If I was speaking Allemagne, if I was to say to you, Ekkaristos, what language is that? Greek, thank you. I, as a friend here, if I was to say to her, Merhaba, Merhaba, it's Turkish. And it reveals where we're from, the language that we speak. And you see, Andy speaks a bit of Welsh as well. So is some Welsh, Andy? Borega. What does that mean?
Good day.
Good day, Borega. And then there's people who live north of Borega who apparently want to be separated from us, and they speak Scottish, don't they? But strangely, they want to leave us. The language we speak says where we're from. And James ends by saying it shouldn't be so that different things come, but to speak properly, that tongue to work as it should and be changed, well, we need to have our hearts changed. And one thing only changes our hearts, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. And he forgives us, gives a fresh start, because the Lord Jesus said, all your nasty things you've said and done, at the cross, I'm going to take those from you and forgive you and give you a fresh start. And the Christian life begins with the cross. If you sense today that your tongue is out of control, might it not be, if you're an adult, or if you're a young person, that you've never ever thanked Jesus for what he's done for you, his forgiveness and fresh start, and the power to live a new life. Let's have a prayer. Lord, our tongues have not always been used for good, but rather bad and evil. Forgive us, Lord, that we so often use nasty words. And we ask that you might change us from inside out. We thank you for the cross, for forgiveness. And that you're in the business of changing us and altering every part of our lives. Amen.